Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Firalsoftech Limited earnings conference call for the quarter and year ended on 31st March 2023. For the duration of presentation, all the participant lines will be in listen-only mode. We will have a question and answer session after the presentation. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Now, without any further delay, I'd like to hand over the proceedings to Ms. Neha Joshi, Company Secretary. Over to you, Neha.
Thanks, Yashaswi. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Neha, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer of Firalsoftech Limited. A very warm welcome to all of you for the earnings conference call for the financial results of quarter and year ended March 31st, 2023. For discussion, we have here with us today Mr. Sunil Kulkarni, our Chairman and Executive Director, Mrs. Prachi Kulkarni, our Managing Director, Mr. Mandar Imamdar, our Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Anil Patwardhan, our Financial Advisor. Welcome, everybody. We wish to start by qualifying that during the call we may make some forward-looking statements. Firalsoftech does not provide any specific revenue earnings guidance. Anything which is said during this call which may reflect our outlook for the future or which may be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. These statements are considering the business environment we see as of today, and therefore there could be risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to vary materially from what we are discussing on this call today. An audio link and transcript of this call will be shortly available on the investor section of our website, www.firalsoftech.com. With this, we are now ready to begin with the opening statements on the performance of the company. Post that, we will be available for the question answer session. I now request Sunil sir to take over. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Neha. Good afternoon, all. Thanks for your time today. Thanks for taking time to join our call. This is our first fiscal year results overview earnings call post we going public. Thanks a lot. Many of you might be joining this or knowing us, knowing about us for the first time. I'll just quickly run you through our company overview. I'll be keeping myself short. In 5-7 minutes I'll be completing this so that we have more time for question and answer. Firalsoftech Limited is a leading LangTech, linguistics or languages plus technology, LangTech services provider, and we specialize in integrating languages with technology solutions so that the last mile delivery is in local languages. We offer different technology-based solutions and cover 200+ languages. I'm joined in the senior management with Prachi Kulkarni, Mandar Imamdar, and Sushrut Poddar, who's our CTO. Other than us, we have a mid-management team of around 15+ members who are with us for some time. Our corporate philosophy, our vision is to ensure that technology solutions are available in local language so that for the betterment of community or business. Our services include, we have major two categories. One is language engineering services, which include software localization, data creation, language engineering, and enterprise IT services, which includes digital transformation, enterprise product implementation, and so on. This is our first fiscal year after going public. We did a 27% revenue growth over last year. Our top line was around 34.2 crore. We created some new competencies, including technology in the technology space as well as in language engineering. Our Q4 was decent enough. We had a top line of around 9.72 crore, with a year-on-year growth of 17%. Our yearly growth, we compared to last year, it was 27% growth on top line, and EBIT has been around 21% as against 23% last year. To see from here, I just want to add how we achieved this top line growth. Some of the key wins or initiatives for us this year were with the growth of AI and ML, there's a huge requirement of large language models, and we are positioned well in multilingual data creation, transcription, or testing of these or creation of these models or data. Fidel also has set up competencies in the area of ServiceNow, cloud areas, whereby we continue to tap new enterprise clients. This year we added almost 30 plus new clients, where around 4 to 5 have been identified as strategic clients. We also commenced MOUs with certain customers where some work has already been started. Fidel also did one big data collection project. Again, it was for training AI engine, where we did data collection for various dialects of Japanese languages. Over the years, we are now seeing around 10 plus clients with 100K USD of sales. From outlook perspective, overall we see a very positive outlook. We want to share an outlook of around 27 to 30% growth for this coming year. We see continuously because of our presence in Japan geography, we see that still as a very stable geography compared to the other geographies. Our current work in digital technologies, enterprise products, as well as the language engineering, at least in current customers, we see a positive pipeline for coming quarters. Esports and gaming is one area that we are also seeing some traction. We already have some customers in this area, and we are trying to look at similar customers in this domain. With new technologies, why there are new technologies like ChatGPT, we see rather more, we are seeing interesting patterns where customers are asking us to see how we can leverage these technologies and integrate with their solutions. With this, I think there's a brief overview about what we have done. Thanks a lot for participating today, and we are open for any questions. Thanks.
With this, we are now ready to open the question and answer session. I will now hand it over to Yashasree. Over to you, Yashasree.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants who wish to ask a question are requested to press star and 1 on their phone now. We have our first question from the line of Imran Khan from Long Bao India Capital Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I hope I am audible. Sir, my question is on your, first of all, top line. If you compare it with last quarter, there is hardly any growth. Is this the normal growth that one can expect from your company, or you think you can grow much faster than this?
Which quarter you have mentioned?
The last quarter is
Q3 to.
If I compare your last quarter with same time last year, it's hardly 1 crore growth over eight crore of top line. So what I'm saying is it normal thing that you want to say, or we can expect a higher growth from from your company because the scale is very small right now?
No. Earlier, we, till last year, last year, we used to be in a band of around a quarterly rate of 6.5 CR
right.
per quarter. Last year, we, barring the first quarter, we successfully transitioned to 8.5 CR, where we were trying to still see if we can go around 9 or cross 9. This year, we see that if we can cross 10 to 12, or we can try to reach closer to 12. So, of course, we are still in the process of building or setting up our sales engine, marketing engine. We have done certain progress last year, but, and we continue to build over that. But, yeah, so there is much potential. There is a lot of potential, rather. It's just how we can now start tapping these areas.
All right. And sir, how many employees do you have as on you know March 31st?
Employees, number of employees?
Yes. Yeah. Compared to last year, you know, in the last 1 year, how many employees you have added, and what is the total strength?
Today the total strength is 172.
Right.
172. What we have done is, while the addition of employees look marginal, last we have also tried to work with independent contractors for certain projects, because when we, if there's a long strategic project or long strategic area where we are building competencies, we are of course hiring like employees. But for certain projects where we were not sure whether this would continue for a longer duration, we have done with some contractors.
Right. Then my question is, you know, the top line growth is only 1 crore if you compare year by year to year, you know, quarter to quarter, sorry. And your employee benefit expenses have actually, you know, it has gone up more than by your revenue growth. So what was the reason for this?
We have a variable component in our salary structure, so which actually comes in our across in the last quarter or last month basically, and so we have, so that was one of the areas because of which the employee benefits look bigger.
But that should be related to or at least linked to the revenue growth yet that you do, right? The revenue growth is hardly around maybe 60-70 lakhs compared to last quarter, and you have a very similar growth in your employee benefit. So it seems like, you know, it's still very high.
Actually, correct. So this variable that I'm talking is the yearly that we keep aside and is given at the end of the year.
Right.
It's not just for the quarter plan.
Right. And is it similar case with your other expenses also?
Other expenses. So there are in the other expenses in the last quarter we participated in different events. So there is an event in Dublin called Gala event, which is an organization mainly in the localization language engineering area, where we participated. And so these were some initiatives that we thought would add to subsequent revenue growth in this particular year. Yeah.
And this would not continue in the coming quarter, right? I mean, it's a one-time event in a year, right? So I think Q1 will see again a normal other expenses then?
Yes. So basically, we have marked certain events within India as well as globally, which kind of address the market that or the area that we work in, like as I mentioned, language engineering or ServiceNow or enterprise products. So we are trying to see which events are more suitable for us and accordingly trying to plan our, the participating in these events. But Q1, again, this year we are in the process of planning which events we will participate.
So this is Anil Patwardhan. I just wanted to add to what Mr. Sunil is just now explaining. See, we have to increase the visibility of the company across the markets in which we would like to target the growth. And based on that, we have identified certain events where we need to participate. We have increased our visibility. And we also need to invest in business development to sort of drive this level of growth and also possible to accelerate this growth. So you will find that those initiatives have been taken up in the second half of this financial year. And we have been able to sort of go ahead with these initiatives. Actually, that cost is also coming into profit and loss account of the company. But then we
I'm sorry, sir. Sorry to interrupt. This is the operator. Can you come closer to the microphone, sir?
So we would like to continue with these initiatives and increase the visibility of the company so that we are able to attack new markets as well as get new logos. From customer perspective.
Operator, can I ask more questions if there is nobody in the queue, or else I can, you know, move?
You can go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Sir, since we are talking about, you know, the market and you're, you know, increasing the operations, can you please tell us, you know, what kind of, let's say in the next 2-3 years, what kind of, you know, revenues you are targeting? Let's say 2026 or 2027 maybe?
So the first 2 years we were looking at, like, last year and this year. So last year we did we had thought of 25 to 30%. This year we have seen 27 to 30%, as I mentioned. What we are seeing that the first time that the entire company is also now understanding that we are chasing, or we are going, walking towards a certain goal. And so once we have adjusted, or we are building this base, in next, after next year, we are looking at 35-40%, is something that we are looking at.
Right. And sir, since your company is already profitable, you know, making at least 5.5 crores profit. What was the reason for doing this IPO that you did to raise 10-12 crore rupees? Just curious to know.
Yeah. So basically, meaning our company is not a new startup. We are there. Last few years, or last all these years, we have always bootstrapped ourselves. And if we save certain amount this year, we can, well, let's try to do this or let's try to do that. There was never a case where we said that, okay, let's invest in a sales engine upfront, or let's hire 10 sales guys, or let's do this. Our profitability also, last 3 to 4 years, we have started continuously trying to build over where we are. So last year was something where we said that, is there any way where we can now see that we build up a sales engine, we build up a strategic focus and go? Then there was area, again, if we are limited with whatever pool we have, within that limit you try to do. We had options to go to banks, angel investors, VCs, or this or the public. So we thought that, again, this could be a better route.
And how do you want to utilize this, you know, cash that you have in the books in the future? You want to keep it as a safety net for your company, or you want to invest it somewhere so that you can get, you know, grow maybe much faster?
Correct. So we have reached out saying that we will be using this for as a working capital, which we have already started, you know, as I mentioned, participating in events, hiring, increasing our reach, business development, and so on. So our branding exercise, many times, even what we have realized is, even in Pune, many companies or people don't know us much. So because we never thought of like going on as a go as forward as a brand or build our brand and so on. So mainly it's working capital. That said, we already spent certain part of it. We are ensuring that we are not rushing into spending it, in the sense that given the volatility, and we are also trying to see if it is judicious to spend it in certain areas. So we are being a bit conservative. It was our first year, and we don't want to end up wrongly spending into certain areas. Yeah.
Right.
Just to add to what you're saying, the money would also be used to build different competency centers in different areas of our work, as and when we would seek any market opportunity with any of our customers or any of our prospects we're talking to, and that is something which if we do would help us grow further.
Right. Got it. And sir, if possible, you know, I have been at least thinking, you know, what you are actually doing at your company. So as a name, it suggests, you know, you are doing something with language as a, you know, differentiation. But can you help me understand, let's say, a project of your where you have provided a solution to a problem? Can you explain that if possible?
So basically, I'll just first tell you what type of work we do, so that might give you a bit idea. So basically, let's say if you want to generally build up a payroll system, payroll application, you can today go to any company in India and ask them, I want a payroll system, and they will build it for you. But if you say, I want a payroll system which will generate reports in Telugu or Japanese. Now here, a normal vendor would say, sir, I might not know how to store Japanese characters or how to search for it, or and so on. And there some such customers would typically come to us, we want to build up an application, multilingual application and so on. This is one example. Second would be, take something like Amazon's Alexa. Alexa today speaks, let's say, English, and it understands English. But today, to make Alexa understand Marathi, Hindi, Bahasa, Himali, Tamil, Alexa's engine has to be trained into different languages so that Alexa understands your that question in Hindi or Marathi, kya hai, and so on. So we would work with someone like Amazon to collect or build data, transcribe it, annotate it, format it in a certain, or curate it in a certain format so that it can be loaded or given to that engine. This could be one another area that. So typically language people think that it's just plain vanilla translation, as in birth certificate translation or Aadhaar card translation. But there are these engineering aspects to it. So when a CAD drawing, let's say, is sent from Germany to India, it might have markings or notations in German language.
Right.
But so get such work where then we'll extract this text using again scripts, translate it and put it back again. This could be a simple one engagement again. So, and not, of course, so here sometimes or most of the time, some linguistic know-how at least and technology, both are needed. So this acts as a niche as well, but globally, it's a huge market. There are companies who will be doing $1 billion in this, like TransferPay or global companies. We have just started and we are now reaching out to.
Right. So, in fact, that was my next question. You know, what other companies do you have in the market who are doing similar work? How big they are, and what kind of competition you're getting from them?
Correct. So, if I see India, it's a very fragmented market, and there are vanilla translation agencies. So, who would be just doing linguistic work?
Right.
So, many times, work with them also because they might have certain translators and we can leverage them. And then there are vanilla IT services companies who have doing just IT services. Say like say Persistent, for example. But then if they get a Spanish e-commerce website web e-commerce web application kind of work, they would try to reach out to us. That hey, Fidel, you have this expertise of Spanish as well as say Magento or something. Can you help? So at least in India, land and tech together, we are not seeing much. Then there are certain technology companies, but then they are doing say fonts or device drivers or OS and so on. Again, they are not our direct competition. In US, there are companies like LandBridge or Translate, and these are our customers as well. We localize. They are much bigger, $200 million, $500 million, and so on. But then they don't see us as competitors, because we are rather they see us as partners in Asia.
Okay. And let me then you know just extend this question. Since you are also working for other IT companies, right? So what percentage of your revenue would be direct from, you know, let's say a client who has a need of this solution, compared to, you know, from a third party?
So we have currently two types of customers. One is, as you correctly mentioned, what we call as system integrators or go-through companies. It could be an IT company or it could be a language company in US.
Right.
And then end user firms, like let's say working directly with SAP or working directly with Amazon or working directly in India with Flipkart and so on. So today, roughly the ratio would be around 30% direct users, 70% all these system integrators or B2B kind of. Sometimes it's 65-35. Our, of course, idea is how we can increase the direct end user connect or directly go into these. At the same time, these require a lot of longer sales time. We need more account management capabilities and so on.
Right.
But yeah, so it's 30-70 kind of.
And what would be your wallet share with these integrators? Because they must be having other vendors as well. So what kind of wallet share you enjoy with them?
For example, again, this is a broad question. So for example, we have customers in, say, like, let's just take SAP. In SAP's language engineering work, our work would be very minuscule. Maybe, I don't know even if it is touching 1%. But if I take if just the Indian language part of SAP, we might be doing say 20-25% or 30%, other than what they are doing in-house. In India, I don't think other than us is actually working with us, with them on Indian languages, for example. So, likewise, for certain US-centric, these bigger firms as well, for languages such as Japanese or Indian languages, we have a bigger wallet share. But then when we are doing, let's say Thai or Bahasa or the German language, we might be very minuscule compared to.
Right. And since, you know, you want to grow 25%, you know, what do you think would be contributing to your growth? Is it going to come from your end user part of the business, or is it coming from, you know, you expect this to come from your integrators part, part? Yeah.
To be honest, at this moment, for us, growth is growth. If it comes from any side, it's welcome. What we have is, many of these entering into end user, it's not that easy. We have to go to, say, we have to be in front of them, we have to visit them. Of course, during pandemic, now many are open to telecon and so on. But at least through participation in these events, we are trying to tag them. That said, currently, we are already entrenched in these system integrators where they know our capabilities, especially now with our technical capabilities, like having in-house Python and different things. We feel a larger chunk. Some things that we are seeing is, two, three areas that we are seeing is, so earlier, some of this work from US or Europe would go to countries like, say, Romania or Eastern Europe. And last year, we are seeing some of this language engineering work coming from Europe or US to us. Earlier, they would see it due to time zone, or they would prefer that. But because of volatility in that market, that is coming to us. So we see, if we are already entrenched in certain customers, we are trying to see if we can get more wallet share from there. That said, we are true participating in events, and we are also trying to knock these new companies. We are also seeing some Indian product companies trying to go global. Our Indian e-commerce companies trying to go local to tier 2, tier 3 cities like Flipkart, Nykaa, Big Basket. All are our customers today, big or small. But so this again drive we see could add to this growth.
Right. And this 25-30% growth year on year, you know, that you are expecting, is it going to come from new customers, or is it going to, come from largely from the existing customers, because the business, you will see some, wallet share shifting. So what would be the reason behind that 25-30% growth?
Currently, one is today. If we look at our existing customers and whatever the growth that we have mentioned, we see at least 50 to 60% of already the work lined up. That so in how we are telling our we are like our sales team and this thing, how we can get this extra 30% growth or 20-25% growth from newer customers. When I say newer, we are also trying to see how we can improve the quality of customers. So there are one-time customers sometimes, but would there be some strategic customers that we can tap or in different markets, or something that, let's say, we are not in Middle East today, but can we tap certain areas, tap someone from there, which would add new geography to us and so on. So there we are also trying to look at our current portfolio of customers.
Right. And sir, this is a very broad question. We are doing something special. I know, this is a language tech is a little special than what general, IT business is. But if you look at the, very general IT business, I think people also make their 15 to 20% EBITDA margins, right? And we are making about closer to 20% margins. So I was thinking, I'm just curious to know why you are not moving into other plain vanilla IT or little bit specialized IT and grow your revenues much faster than, because the scale is very small right now. So what's your thought around that?
No. And that's why, like 2 years back, we never had this thought of building competency in, say, let's say ERP or something like Info, for example. Now, with certain, as Mandar mentioned just now, we are also trying to see how we can quickly set up new competencies. Now, with this esports company, we are helping them with testing esports platform. Now, can we build up a in-house quick some testing competency and now roll out this service to similar, say, companies in US and Europe? So, yeah. You are right, we are not shying away from that. Rather, with this infusion of funds and now with this backing of investors as well as we are also seeing how we can quickly launch different services or build up our confidence. Our daily bread and butter is there now. We have a foundation and then how we can build from there.
Sorry to interrupt. I think we have also who are looking forward to ask some questions. So if you allow us to...
Sir, I'm sorry, you're not audible.
So I think there are one or two, we see two, three people in the queue. So that's why I can always reconnect with Imran and again answer any certain specific questions. But if you have any questions from others.
Yeah, please feel free to take other questions. I was just, filling the gap because there was no participant.
I don't know, but really that gives us some idea of the thought as well. Yeah,
thanks, Imran, for your interest.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ankit Salgia from Vijit Global Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question and congratulations on good set of numbers, team. So my question is, you have addressed one of the good questions that we are talking about now, AI and ML, and you know, all these things that are ChatGPT that is coming up. So on related to that, you know, you said we are getting, you know, we got one project that we are training, you know, AI engine. But my question is on the other side, that are we, you know, trying to use those kind of tools in our in-house, like ChatGPT, or those where we can get, you know, some of the benefits for coding, or like, you know, translating some of our work from those engines so that we can reduce, you know, our cost of employee, or, you know, get some of our work done from ChatGPT and have an advantage of cost. From that side, and cost or something like that.
Correct. So, in thanks a lot, Ankit ji. Thanks, appreciate the question. So, basically, yes and no, in the sense that for certain enterprises, they specifically ask us not to use any machine translation or anything. That said, we have over the period built some in-house tools where we try to build terminologies or build processes for certain these customers. Then there are certain customers where there is a mandate to rather leverage machine translation. So here either they will give us free machine translated text and we do a post edit, and that's what we call as MTT, or they allow us to upload, you can use any engine or anything, and then just give us the turnaround, because the contents are increasing. And so there we of course want to leverage something like any machine translation engines that are available in the market, including ChatGPT. ChatGPT, what we are seeing, the queries are, for us, when we are drafting, for example, certain collaterals, or earlier we would review certain code, there, of course, we are trying to see how we can leverage something like ChatGPT or build some wrappers around it, and so on. But how bringing operational efficiency, I think that is one of the parts, is something that we are continuously working on by using, again, or building something around these tools. Hello?
Mr. Salgia?
Yeah, all right. Sounds good. I mean, yeah, that was my question. So do you think in future it can reduce our cost on like improve our margins, or like we can have better numbers going down the line with the help of these kind of tools available, or you know,
definitely helping us improve our cost, in the sense that earlier when if we take a vanilla translation part where a translator would do, let's say, 2000 words per day, which was a standard industry benchmark. Now it has grown that a translator should be able to do at least 4,000 to 5,000 words. Because we are making him available all these tools. So there again, we are ensuring that we are able to. That said, there is also, like, customers also many times know that you are increasing operational efficiency. They ask for discounts or that and so on. But yeah, we are seeing some operational efficiencies leveraging these tools and technology.
Okay, thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have a question from the line of Jignesh Vaidya from Jiva Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my.
His line is disconnected. Ladies and gentlemen, please press star and one to ask a question. Participants who wish to ask a question are requested to press star and one on their phone now. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sunil Kulkarni for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thanks a lot for your time and interest today. Really appreciate. For us, this going public was a very big event for us. While we are still an SME and our numbers are small, we are trying to see how we can act and be like a bigger firm. So one of the steps that we took is this year we started our quarterly results declaration with a small note of key takeaways. This was to showcase that there's transparency and communication from us. Secondly, by declaring certain dividends this year, we also wanted to show that wherever we are making profits, we are giving it back to the investors, and in that sense, a dividend-friendly company. That said, we are in a growth mode now. We want you to retain your interest, maybe not now, but at least continue to see, look at us in coming period. We will ensure growth. One of the good part is we are working in two different markets. One is a very mature market like Japan, and one is a growing market like India. So leveraging these two markets and with a renewed focus on new competencies, I'm sure we'll be able to achieve our numbers. We are trying to see, coming from a very conservative background, I think my surname gives away, Kulkarni, but we are trying to ensure that we sustain this growth, we sustain our current operations, and then whatever growth we can, we definitely want to grow. So there we are trying to manage it a bit conservatively. So I think thanks a lot for your time today. We'll continue to, we are accessible. Myself, I'm accessible. You can reach out to us at any point of time. You can visit our office. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Fiddlesoft Tech Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.